When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, friends. I have to tell you all about C60 Purple Power. Since I started using C60, which may be the most powerful antioxidant known to man, I feel amazing, and you should too. I have more energy, I sleep better, and I've lost over 30 pounds. But please go check it out for yourself. It has so many amazing benefits. Just click the link in the description or visit C60PurplePower.com and use coupon code KNOWLEDGE10 to get 10% off your order plus free shipping. That's C60 Purple Power. To Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Tony Merkel. Before I bring him on, I just want to remind all of you to subscribe to Forbidden Knowledge News on lbry.tv. That's our backup channel. We are also always available on all popular podcast platforms. Definitely check us out on Rockfin. It's where you can get all of our premium content. Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon this year was held there. You can have access to last year's Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon, all of our regular shows, and all the premium content from all the awesome content creators on Rockfin. Just click the link in the description or visit rockfin.com/FKN+ to get access to all that awesomeness. Finally, check out the great products at Ascent Nutrition. They're from the same fine folks at EMF Harmonized. I've been using their Peak Liver Support. It supports liver detoxification. It's full of free radical scavengers and supports healthy energy levels. I've also been taking their Nootropic Focus. Supports brain health and concentration, helps with attention and memory recall, which I know I could definitely need, and it is amazing. They have some of the most highest quality supplements, and they have they even have their own organically grown mold and mycotoxin-free coffee. Just click the link in the description to check out all the awesome stuff that they have to offer. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Tony Merkel. He is the host of the Confessionals podcast, where witnesses of the unexplained come forward to share their experiences with the world. Though his pursuit was focused on the phenomenon of Bigfoot, he quickly began connecting dots with other topics such as ghosts, demons, alien abductions, and much more. Tony, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me back. It's been a little bit.
Yeah, it has. I've been looking forward to it. Last time you were on, we kind of barely scratched the surface of some of the possible connections between the paranormal, ufology, and cryptid phenomenon. I want to go a little further tonight and see where we can go. I recently moved out to Colorado, and I was in Louisiana before. They have some cryptid lore down there, such as things like the Rougarou. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love going out to the mountains here, though, and exploring this beautiful state and the nature. And I've always felt, you know, a connection to this part of the country, you know, the West and the Midwest. It's always been just, you know, kind of calling out to me for some reason. And ever since I've been here, cryptids and Bigfoot have become super interesting just because there's become so many synchronicities and coincidences that have made it made their way into my life, like different guests that I've had, different experiences, different people living around here bringing up Bigfoot and cryptids to me, saying that they've had experiences, just all this stuff kind of pushing me down the cryptid road. So, you know, I got to explore it. You got to look at these synchronicities when they come to you. At least, you know, that's the way I feel. Have you heard of any, like, you know, major prevalent cryptid or Bigfoot hotspots around Colorado?
Around Colorado? Not necessarily off the top of my head as far as hotspots goes and stuff. I mean, Bigfoot, there's a lot of people who are very big enthusiasts when it comes to Bigfoot in this country. And somebody made a big, I haven't looked at it in years, but somebody made a Bigfoot map off of Google Maps with all these pin drops. And when I looked at it, there were, and it was just sightings. It was just sightings of Bigfoot that were reported. And I want to say that they pulled it off of the BFRO website, but there was a cluster everywhere, you know, all over the country. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Colorado had hotspots, just given the fact that the Rockies are there and stuff, the seclusion there. It seems like these things can live pretty much anywhere. And, you know, it depends on where you're talking about in the country as to how big we're talking about. The Pacific Northwest, these things are just monstrous. I mean, 10 feet tall. Some people report them even taller, but I have a friend who saw a group of these things that came in on his car with him and his brother inside. And he said one of them was like 10 feet tall. But around here where I'm at in the Pennsylvania area, you're talking about 7 to 8 feet tall max. There's a lot of reports of these things being about 6.5 feet tall. So in Colorado, I would not be surprised if you're getting, you know, 8-9 footers out there because of the rurality of it. Is rurality a word, by the way? Because I've been using it a lot recently.
Hey, that sounds good to me. I like it.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. But, it's, you have a different perspective on Bigfoot and cryptids, a little different than most of the researchers I know. Yeah. And it's very interesting to take in, you know, your perspective along with everyone else's and kind of just put it together and see where I fit in and the belief system that I have. But for the audience, you know, if they're not familiar with you and the last time you were on, could you give us like a little overview of what your thoughts on the Bigfoot and cryptid phenomenon are? What do you think these entities are?
So I approach the topic with a very open mind. I mean, I have my thoughts on it and how I lean, but I'm fine being proven wrong, you know? But I think, I guess to start off with it is everybody who looks into these topics has a starting point in their life, and it doesn't include Bigfoot. It doesn't include cryptids. People have upbringings and they come into these topics with their own preconceived notions on how the world works, with their faith and their beliefs, whether it's, you know, a religious belief or down to the scientific beliefs, you know, atheism even. And so when it comes to these topics, everybody has their own perspectives going into the topic that's going to shape and mold how they view these things. And for me, in the early days, when I first started looking into this, I was very involved in the online communities and stuff. And I even started my own community and it was growing and, you know, people are asking me questions. And one of the things that I heard a lot of people saying was that when they go into the woods, it's a spiritual experience for them when they're looking for Bigfoot. And I'm a Christian. I you're probably assumed that I'd bring that up in this part of the conversation, but I don't hide that. And so when it comes to this whole Bigfoot thing, when I was surrounded by a lot of people who were what I was perceiving as something of almost like worshiping these things, almost like it was an entity or something, it was very concerning for me. And so I really had to kind of step back and think, you know, what is Bigfoot and what am I doing here? Is this thing just a hairy monster in the woods, or is there something more to it? Because I'm talking to people who, you know, insist that it's just a giant hominid walking in the woods we just can't keep up with. And then I talk to other people who say they've seen these things doing unnatural things and supernatural, paranormal things. And, you know, I started thinking, like, how do I process this? This is in the early days. And I settled on in the early days, it's just a hairy monster in the woods. I didn't want to go down the paranormal route with Bigfoot. And as I started my show, The Confessionals, and I started hearing people's encounters, and my show is just a very much of an open platform where I don't care who you are, what you believe, what I don't care. If you had an experience, we're going to talk about it, because like I stated earlier, I believe that what you believe going into experience is going to shape and mold how you see that experience and how you relate it to others. When it comes to, you know, a priest and an atheist being in the same room, if they had a paranormal experience together, they would leave describing it very differently, because they went into the room with totally different perspectives. And so when it comes to the stuff on the show, I'm very open-minded. So I have people on the show who are talking about the Bigfoot being a natural thing that they saw. And then I have people on the show talking about seeing Bigfoot do things like they call it cloaking. Basically, like if you think about the predator and, you know, the invisible nature. And when I first started hearing that, I'm like, no freaking way. You know, I just couldn't wrap my mind around it until I started thinking more along the lines of, well, OK, so what does my faith say about certain things? And I started really looking into the Book of Enoch, and because the giants, Nephilim, was a very, it still is an interest of mine, but I was, you know, like diving into it early on. And so I was looking into the Book of Enoch for more clarification as to what Nephilim are. And in the Book of Enoch, it tells you that, you know, the fallen angels had sex with women, the offspring were Nephilim. But then it goes into the Nephilim and what the Nephilim did as far as defiling God's creation. And it doesn't say have sex, but it says defiled, I believe. It alludes to the idea that Nephilim were having sex with animals. And when I start thinking about the supernatural nature of the Nephilim coming into existence, where you have a supernatural entity, these fallen angels, coming and having sex with human women and able to produce offspring, would those Nephilim have supernatural abilities? I often use the example, you know, I'm Puerto Rican and I have a twin brother and sister, and, you know, one's a boy, one's a girl. One is darker than I am with tan. And the other one, she's white, you know, pasty white, but they're twins. And so it's the idea that, they have the same DNA, but they got different traits. And so I started thinking, is it possible for these kind of things to have the Nephilim having the ability to, you know, maybe have some kind of supernatural abilities because of who their fathers were? And if that is true, could that be passed on to their offspring? And if they're having intercourse with animals and stuff, and they're supernatural beings to begin with, is it possible for them to procreate? And then those offspring, you know, say, I don't know, but, you know, say you have a gorilla and a Nephilim or something, and the offspring is Bigfoot. Let's just keep it real simple. Would that be able to be passed on through the lineage? I don't know. But if it is possible, maybe that is a reason why some people say it would seem very physical and natural, just giant and scary. And other people say, yeah, it was giant and scary, and then it freaking disappeared on me. So, I mean, those are some of the things that I kind of think of when it comes to Bigfoot.
Right. And I hear, you know, more of the encounters where, you know, the researcher is going into it thinking that these are benevolent beings, that, you know, they're just timid forest creatures and they just want to, you know, mind their own business and go about their thing. But I have heard the few encounters where you know, people were truly frightened, or they felt threatened or scared that this entity was going to attack them or hurt them. Have you had any heard of any encounters where people were actually attacked or something similar along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, similar things where people come on the show and they'll talk about whether it's a stalking of nature, where they'll come up to your house on a repeated basis and stalk you that way. Even outside of Bigfoot, when you're talking about the idea of dogman, people talk about these dogmen doing very similar things where they'll come to your house, they'll climb on the roof. They'll actually try getting in your house by turning into doorknobs. And those are things that I think about. I'm like, there's something to this that isn't normal, in the sense that if this is just a wild beast that wants to get in your home, it doesn't need to worry about turning a doorknob to get in. It can just bust a door down if it really wants to. And so it that takes me down the mindset of, you know, is there some kind of spiritual implication here where these things need almost like a permission of some sort. But back to your question, the one, when people ask me this question, the one that always sticks out in my head, it's probably because him and I are like really good friends, is my friend Wes. He and his brother, and I referenced it earlier a little bit, but him and his brother, they were out in the Pacific Northwest. They had just lost their father and they were blowing steam off. And they were up in the mountains on an old logging road. And they come to this point in the road where it was like real iffy to go down. I mean, it was like, I don't think we should do this. And they're sitting there just kind of like talking, you know, windows down. And they hear something coming in on the car. And they each hear it on both sides of the car. And they also hear it coming in from the back. So there's multiple creatures here. And this is a really long story. I'm going to cut short. They get scared. They have guns in their hands. And they're like, we're just going to get out of here. I think they might even heard like some kind of like deep guttural growl. And so they get out and they're going down the road. They pull over and they stop just to be like, what was that? Like that was weird. And they have this long encounter with this group of Bigfoot. And Wes didn't know, Woody didn't know, they didn't know what they were looking at first. But they had these things coming across, walking across the street, almost like strutting, like they were challenging them. They saw them do a very aggressive tactics, like they would get down on all four, like they were going to charge the car and like pump their butt in the air, like almost like a runner. And Wes described this. This was years ago. I would say, let's just say it was 2012 when he came out with this experience. And it might have been even earlier. And people were like chastising him, saying, no way, Bigfoot doesn't do this. Because he said that this thing got down on all four and it did a walk like a spider. It like walked like a spider with its legs. He said it was unnatural. And people were like, what are you talking about? Bigfoot walks on two legs. And, you know, like many people back then probably didn't even talk about Bigfoot going down on all four, period. Like it was impossible. And he always stood by that. And it was really gratifying for me, because I would say it might have been this year that I broadcast this show, but I called it the Spider Crawl, because I interviewed two ladies. And the first lady that was on the show, she was telling me her paranormal experiences, and she's a fantastic musician. We played some of her music. And the second, her sister-in-law had a encounter with something. She didn't know what it was. The lady I was talking to said she thinks her sister-in-law had a Bigfoot encounter, but she's very hesitant to call it a Bigfoot. She doesn't know what it is. And she comes on and tells me this experience where she's out, I think in Mount Hood, and she's picking mushrooms or something like that. And she comes across this creature, and as it's leaving, it drops down on all four. And if I remember correctly, she said it almost like turned its torso towards her as it was walking away from her. But she said it walked like it was a spider. And I said to her, have you ever heard anything about Bigfoot? Did you ever hear about the spider walk? And she's like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I played her a clip from my friend who was on my show. And I let her hear what he said on my show. And she was like, oh my gosh, like that's exactly what I saw. And so it was really gratifying for me to hear that because, you know, my friend Wes took heat for years over that. And it just, for me, it was really cool. But his experience is the one that always sticks out in my head of the aggressive nature of Bigfoot. There's a lot of people who have experiences with Bigfoot that aren't aggressive. It's very passive. Some people talk about, you know, more than more than passive, where it's just like there's an actual interaction and it's extremely peaceful. I don't know. Do you come in at the wrong time and you piss these things off?
Or it could be like a territorial thing or protecting their young, you know, who knows?
It could be that. It could be there's just bad groups of these things, that, you know, just like human beings. I mean, you go in certain parts of the country and you know it's known for, like, say, South Chicago. Like, South Chicago is known for being in a very aggressive neighborhood. And so maybe that's a similar thing where some of these things are just very aggressive and, you know, you don't want to come across that group. So it's very interesting, the nature of these things. But I've heard some really, like, bizarre stories over the years on my show and other shows that's just like, holy crap, like, what is going on here?
Yeah. And along the same kind of lines, the whole missing 411 phenomenon where people just kind of just go missing in state parks, and they have stories with kind of similar type of experiences with Bigfoots or seeing strange lights in the sky before this occurrence, or something supernatural connected to it. Do you think that a lot of the missing persons are could be connected to this phenomenon?
I think it's possible. Missing 411. I think that there is a high likelihood that there are people missing that go missing in the woods that do go missing because of Bigfoot. Some of the accounts, even from missing 411, people talking about seeing something carrying off a child that was gigantic and had a hairy back. Like, I mean, at some point you're like, okay, you know, I mean, you can try saying it was a bear walking on two legs, carrying a kid over his shoulder, but like, really, you know, I guess people who don't want to think about Bigfoot would, you know, go down that route. But I definitely think that missing 411, there are instances where the missing person is attributed to Bigfoot. But I think that missing 411 is very broad in nature on purpose. And I think that there's a lot of possibilities when it comes to these missing persons cases. No matter what you think about David Pilates, no matter what you think about the books or whatever, the fact is what's in those books is real cases of missing people in these national forests. I think there's a high likelihood that you could be talking about an extraterrestrial abduction. There's that possibility. There's also the possibility of, and I heard Midnight Mike talk about it on From the Union of the Unwanted. I heard him talk about it a while back, but he brought up the idea, and I guess it wasn't his original thought, but it's the idea that, you know, if we're living in a simulation and somebody wanders too far outside the range, it's easier for the simulation to extract that person than to render an entire landscape for that person to experience. And when I heard that, I was just like, okay, my mind just popped. Like,
wow, really, yeah, that is crazy.
I was just like, wow, that's crazy. And so that's what I mean with the missing 411. I think there's so many applications with this. And we can even go down the dogman route. I mean, that's another mysterious beast that people are seeing out in the woods. And typically those are very aggressive. I just talked to a guy last week. And we didn't even finish our conversation because it got to be 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, bro, we need to wrap this up and do it another time. But he was introduced to Dogman with an encounter. He's in Kentucky and he was a coon hunter. And he was 15 years old, went out with his grandfather. His grandfather wasn't in the greatest shape. So his grandfather stayed by the truck and they had two-way radios. The dogs go, they tree a raccoon. and he's following the barks to come in to kill the raccoon and all that stuff and tell the dogs good job. Well, they hear a pack of coyotes coming in. And so his grandfather said, just get in there before the coyotes get there, because you're going to have a mess on your hands if those dogs fight the coyotes. And so he's going and he hears the fight start. And one of his dogs, the younger one, ran off, just left. The other dog wound up fighting off these coyotes. The dog is a big dog. I mean, we're talking about coyotes being about 50 pounds and this dog's about a buck 20, a buck 30. But he talks about how these coyotes came back in almost like a group. It wasn't like a one-on-one attack. It was like a group effort. And he hears this fight break out, but then he hears his other dog come back in and fight as well. And so when he arrives in the scene, the fight was over. His dog's back to barking up the tree and treeing this raccoon. And he comes over, pats his dog on the head, and he hears his dog on the other side of the tree chowing down on a coyote. So he walks around this tree to, you know, tell his dog to stop or whatever, whatever. And to his surprise, on the other side of the tree, it wasn't his dog at all. He's standing 5 feet away from a dog that he said was bigger than a Saint Bernard. And it was holding a whole body of a coyote, but by its ribs in its mouth. Like, that's how big this thing was. And he said when he approached and he saw what it was 5 feet away, this thing stopped and looked right at him. And at that point, it stood up on its hind legs. And he said it was about 7 to 8 feet tall. And he took off running. And long story short, his dog wound up saving his life. And his dog, he thought his dog had died, but this thing tore his dog to pieces. But because his dog intervened, he was able to escape alive. And then the next day in the evening, they found his dog by the road, and he picked up his dog. He said his dog was just shredded to pieces. Like, he said his ears looked like noodles. Like, it was just like clawed and just shredded. But his grandmother nursed the dog back to health, and he said the dog lived to be an old dog and even went back out hunting. He wasn't the best dog, the hunter anymore, because the dog apparently was a legendary dog. Everybody knew about this dog. But after that experience, the dog wasn't the same, but he still had a good nose and could tree a coon. And but yeah, so I mean, these dog men being out there, I mean, shoot. So if that situation played out any different, where his dog dies, his grandfather's in the pickup truck. He hears the fight, assuming it's coyotes, just like he did before he approached. So say his dog gets killed, and this dog man then has nothing stopping from killing him. He could have very easily been a missing 411 case where grandpa's like, we were out coon hunting. We heard the coyotes come in, and that was it. I don't know what happened. You know, maybe they would have long-term chalked it up to, you know, coyotes got them. But how would you explain then the dog surviving? Cause the dog survived the coyote attack. So it's just interesting. But yeah, so the missing 401, I think there's a lot of different ways to think about it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Now when it comes to, different places, you were saying that, you know, there could be different places that are worse than others when it comes to the temperament of these beings. There's also places that it seems like are hotspots for, you know, just paranormal activity in general. You look at Skinwalker Ranch, Mount Shasta, Sedona, Arizona, just, you know, different places around the country that seem to have more activity or paranormal or sightings, even Bigfoot, than most. What do you think is going on in those particular areas? Do you think it could be some kind of electromagnetic or frequency or energy or something?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to that. And when you talk about, what is it, 30, I always forget, that parallel line that goes across the country.
30's right. Yeah,
thank you. I think there's something to that, just by looking at the situations. And then you have, like, even in Alaska, the Alaska Triangle, and the fact that there seems to be something going on there. And these triangles pop up a lot of places. And I just start thinking sometimes, I'm like, well, if you have three situations, you just draw lines between them all, you usually get a triangle. So, you know, who knows? But I also think that when it comes to some of this stuff, there could be governmental intervention going on. When it comes to especially the cryptid side of things, I personally do believe that that I don't think, like, you know, our president is making orders to, hey, how are we looking on the whole Chimera today thing? We need to make sure we kick that project into high gear because I'm going to want to use those against, you know, some country. I don't think it's like that, but I think there are very undercover covert operations that have been going on for a long time. And Arizona is one of those spots where I really think there's something going on there when it comes to these cryptid sightings, especially the ones out in the deserts, like around area, Area 51, area, I think it's Area 2. I've talked to people who worked on the base, and they've seen very strange things. I've never talked to somebody from that worked on the base that said that they have seen, you know, a chimera or a Bigfoot or something like that. But they have, this one guy I was just talking to not too long ago, he told me that there was this story going around that there was some kind of like half human, half cat creature that broke out of one of the labs that they were working on. And so I think that might be something that is a credible thing to pursue as far as thought goes, where if our government, let's just call it general government, is pursuing this kind of science, could these things get out accidentally or on purpose? Because I have talked to people who say that they do get out, but it's because they release them at night and they have some kind of technology in them that calls them back in before the morning comes. And so I think that there could be strategy on that end of things where it's like you release it out and it comes back kind of thing. And that, you know, comes to play with a lot of the sightings in some of these areas. You think about the deep underground military bases and the correlation between these locations that these hot beds are happening at. In Pennsylvania, where I'm at, we have Raven Rock, which is a underground military base. And it's known, you just can't get to it. I mean, even the locals in the area that live like down the road from Raven Rock, if they see somebody that they don't recognize, like they usually report it kind of thing. And it's just hard to get around in that area. Now, what's in Raven Rock? I don't know. I've talked to people who have been in there, and very interesting characters in Raven Rock. It's huge. But there are rumors that there's multiple. Well, let's just say there's rumors that there's another underground military base in Pennsylvania. And I don't have a location for the second one, but I have a very strong suspicion that the second location is probably in the Allegheny National Forest, because that forest conservatively takes up about 1/16 of the state. And it's absolutely huge, absolutely wild, and you can hide anything in there. And I have a feeling it's there. But I say the underground military bases for Pennsylvania because I know from personal firsthand, Pennsylvania has a very high rate of Bigfoot sightings. And the Bigfoot sightings, a lot of them happen in the Allegheny National Forest. Now, could they be natural? Sure, they could be natural, but could they also be something else? Maybe, because, you know, I have a friend. Well, yeah, he's a friend now. He was from episode 122, and he worked within our government. The things that he shared on my show scared him so much that after he got out of the military, he actually left the country. And he's a very handy guy to have. Like, I mean, I can just give him a name and he'll be able to get me that person's address kind of thing. And he shared with me websites that are advertising human cloning. And so it's like, if we're doing, and I don't think that's a shocker to anybody. I think most people understand that human cloning happens and it's been happening for a while. But if we're able to do those kind of things, I don't think it's a stretch to think that we could create other creatures as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's crazy. I mean, to think that, you know, around here we have underground military bases that are widely known all across the state, and supposedly they connect to all over the country, and there's no telling what's going on in some of those underground bases. And it also links with the UFO phenomenon, I believe, which I want to get into in a minute. But before we go on from that, I mentioned the Rougarou earlier, and I'm really interested in this because I lived in Louisiana for most of my life, and I could never get a damn straight story on what the Rougarou was. I don't know if it's a dog man or something. I mean, that's what it sounded like to me, mostly like some kind of dog man, but I'm not sure. Have you had any Rougarou sightings that you've heard about or talked to with people?
I haven't had anybody on the show that called it a Rougarou, but I have had the same question because if you're talking to people who are in the Bigfoot mindset, they say it's a Bigfoot. If you're talking to people I've settled on the idea that I lean towards it's more of a dogman like entity than anything else because.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The people who describe these things, it's to me, it sounds like it's not... I want to say it sounds more like it's not a Bigfoot than saying it's a dog man. Does that make sense? Like, to me, it's like, I feel like it's more of a dog man because it's the way they describe it. It's just like, it doesn't seem like a Bigfoot to me,
but yeah, I've heard it described as a dog man a little bit more than a Bigfoot.
Yeah. I wish I knew. I mean, shoot, you lived there. So,
and I still have no clue. I've gotten so many different,
Was there a lot of people that had sightings that you knew of at all?
No. I mean, maybe one or two. You know, it's hard to tell growing up because you have these, silly older folks that are friends with your parents that tell you these tales. And they're like, oh, yeah, I saw him when I was out hunting coon one day. And, you know, I don't know for sure if they really saw it. I know my dad for sure saw a UFO one time when he was hunting and couldn't, just explain what happened. But it's so confusing.
I would say that. Just regions have different names for these things. And so in Kentucky, the dog man is called Slewfoot. And there's a song, I think it's like an old blues song or something like that. And they sing about the Slewfoot, but there's one part of the song where the lyrics were changed and they changed it to referencing a bear when before it talked about a canine, like a beastly canine or something like that. And over the years, when the newer generation is coming up, they'll say, Slewfoot is a bear from the song that they grew up with and stuff like that. And it just kind of got lost in translation if you didn't really know. But the old timers in Kentucky, when they say Slewfoot, they're not referencing a bear. And if you think you know what Slewfoot is, but you're not thinking dog man, you're going to think bear. But when they talk Slewfoot, they're talking about a dog man. They'll talk about a Slewfoot reaching in through a window to grab your children. That's not a bear. And so for instance, the one guy that I was talking to, he was talking about the Slewfoot and how his grandfather was tracking the tracks of a Slewfoot and he ran over and it wasn't bear tracks. It was canine tracks. And so it's interesting where we, as general, we just call it dog man. But these regions that have these creatures in them, they call it different things sometimes, especially if it's been something that's been around for centuries.
Now, one more thing I want to discuss before we move on from the cryptid space here is, I mean, I've seen videos of this and I've heard a couple of witnesses describe them seeing what could possibly be what's called a rake. I'm not sure if you're familiar with these kind of like long-armed, long-legged, very pale-looking hairless entities. Have you had any stories about those?
Yeah, I had a few.
Yeah, those are crazy.
They're scary, man. They're scary. So what they are, I have no idea. All right. So I have none. You could go with mange Bigfoot. You could go with mange dog, man. These things are described as thin, sleek, not very hairy, very ghouly looking.
And their eyes glow often from some of the videos I've seen. It looks like their eyes are glowing.
Glowing eyes. But then people who talk about, like, this one guy I had on the show not too long ago, he woke up one night to this thing trying to come in through his window. And he said the eyes were real big and black. And so I don't know if there's a reflective thing there, but it seems like I get the sense that these things stalk homes, which is scary. But just between there's two people that come to mind. So there's this one guy that I had on the show. Him and his friend were driving in Texas, and they saw two of these things walking up a hill, and it was broad daylight. And but then the other two people that had on after him, the one guy talked about coming home with his wife, and they see this thing sitting in their backyard just looking at their home. And then this other guy I had on, where he's in his home and this thing's trying to figure out how to open the window, almost like it's gone through windows before, but he had a weird window. I think he said it was like a crank window from the inside or something like that. It was like messing with it, but couldn't figure it out. And his brother had saw that as well, but his brother called it the Monkey Man. He didn't call it Rake, and this guy I was talking to didn't know what Rake was until he did research online. And he found a sketch of what he saw, and the person was calling it the Rake. And that's when he started connecting dots. But even like videos online, like on YouTube and stuff, people, you know, supposedly filming these things, a lot of times it's at people's homes. Like the one that keeps coming to mind is there's this guy, he hears like this noise in his house. And he goes outside, and it looks like he climbs up on the roof. Like he's holding his cell phone while he's doing all this stuff. But on his roof is this thing that looks right at him and then dips down on the other side of the roof. And it's freaky. I've also seen these things. Well, I don't want to say I've seen them. I've seen video of these things reporting them being out in the woods. And the guy I had on the show, he said that because he got out of his bed and grabbed his gun. And by the time he grabbed his gun, he said that thing was off into the woods. And I don't think it was out of sight, though, because I remember asking him on the show, why didn't you shoot it? And I forget what his reason was. But I think it was because I think he was younger. He was a kid or something. It was, you know, try to explain to mom and dad that you shot your gun in the house at a monster that you didn't hit. You know what I mean? So it's like, OK, yeah, that makes sense. it's a scary topic in the sense that a lot of the interaction I've had with either witnesses or just online of seeing whatever it is, it seems like these things do have a fascination with your home. And I'm waiting for somebody to tell me they had it come in. Like that would be just trippy. But yeah,
that's insane. Yeah, those things creep me out every time I see a video or someone talks about them. I've heard theories that they could be just some kind of subterranean humans that kind of just got left behind in society and then just stayed underground, maybe for a cataclysm or something, and just lost all pigment and vision or whatever and adapted to the dark. So that's, that's another crazy thought.
Who knows what's living underground? I mean, people talk about Bigfoot living underground, reptilians, these rake creatures. I had a guy on the show recently talking about his stories that his brother related to him from their childhood of his interaction with this reptilian type entity that he came across when he stumbled across an opening in the ground that opened up into these giant caverns. And supposedly there was a lot more than just reptilians there. And so it's just interesting. Like the idea of reptilians, I don't know how I feel about it as far as whether I believe reptilians are real or not. Sometimes I look at the Queen of England, I'm like, yeah, I could see that. But it fascinates me. And the idea of things being underground fascinates me even more than anything. I love the idea of the hunt. And I've been recently given a location here in Pennsylvania, in a general area that I live, that Pennsylvania has lots of quarries, old quarries that were mines at one time. And supposedly around an old quarry around here, there's an opening to an underground realm. where these reptilians exist. And the guy who I was telling me this, he said, but dude, don't mess with it. Just let it go. And I told him, I said, you don't know who you're talking to, bro. Like, I'm already putting my boots on. Like I can't, I have to go check this out. Like, do I think I'm going to find it? No. And if I find it, do I think there's going to be something in there? Probably not. But if there is, dude, like, it's crazy. Like,
yeah, you got to know these things.
Dude, I'll freaking live stream it or something. Like, I might die, but I'm going to live stream it, you know? So, I mean, I've gone out in the woods, like in Allegheny National Forest. Me and my brother, we were given coordinates to a cave that had a fossilized Bigfoot print in it. And so I went out and we went like 2 miles into the woods and we found the cave and I crawl in and I'm like, I'm freaking feeling like Indiana Jones, man. Like, I was like, this is freaking awesome. And I just dive into this cave. And afterwards, look, in hindsight, I'm thinking to myself, what if there was like a mountain lion in there or something? Like, I used to, before I had the kids, I was reckless. And I would just go into these caves and all that crap. But when I got there, I found the print, but it was fake. Somebody made a fake cast out of cement and planted it there for somebody to find years later or something. Oh, wow. It was crazy, but it was like a 19 inch print, but it was clearly out of concrete. And it, you know, there was no concrete where I was, you know what I mean? So I don't know if they made it there or if they lugged it up there, but it was really, really heavy. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that's dedication to lug this, whether it's mix or what. It's no thanks. No thanks. I got better things to do with my time.
Yeah, that's
like
crazy,
look for the fake cast. That's my that's what I do with my time. I look for the fake cast. So.
Yeah, man. And speaking along the lines of reptilians, kind of the whole UFO phenomenon has kind of blown up in the past few years, especially when it comes to mainstream media and even our own government. You know, we had the Oumuamua passing through that now speculates could be an alien probe. You know, of course, the Tic Tac and Trump calling for the declassification of all these UFO files. The past few years have been a big deal for UFOs, especially in the mainstream. And I'm wondering why. I mean, why now? And what is the purpose? You know, before it's been extremely woo-woo to talk about UFOs, especially in our media and on, you know, mainstream. And now we have celebrities that are channeling aliens and all this, you know, crazy stuff in the mainstream. It's like, what is going on? Why now? Why are they trying to kind of push this into our psyche? What do you think is going on?
I think you got to watch your six, man. When they're coming out with this kind of stuff, you got to figure there's something else that they want. They're distracting you from. Did we hit the 180-day mark yet by the time we
I don't think so. I think it's like in June or something.
Okay, so I have – all right, so the guy I was referencing earlier that told me – or not told me, but that I can give a name to and he'll find the person for me. He came to me and told me that he – just from the things that he's been pulling, you know, sourcing, he said it seems like there's going to be a big drop of information in June. He said – it might not happen. It's just more of an assumption on his end, but just all the information he's been pulling, it seems like there's probably going to be some kind of a drop. And so maybe that is on the timeline. I have a hard time believing, even if there is a big drop, that it's all going to be 100% real. Why are governments coming out and talking like this? There's a lot of things that.
Yeah. The Israeli guy, the Space Force guy. That's.
Yeah, I mean, he was the I think he was what, the defense minister for Israel or something like that, you know. And then what, last year the Canadian defense guy came out and said something similar. It's like, why are they doing these things? I think there could be a psyop going on, where not necessarily that it's like, oh, let's just lie to them and tell them aliens are real and they're not, and you know, whatever. But I just feel like there's a distraction going on. And I also think that they're going to utilize the newfound reality of popular culture or the general understanding that, you know, these things are real. I think they're going to use that to manipulate people to get them to do what they want. I think they might try to stage some kind of an invasion to bring humanity together underneath a one world government to defend themselves against these invasions. There's a lot of different routes you can go with. You can go down the Christian perspective because so there's right now with what's going on in the world, first time in my life, like that throughout history, there has been eras where Christians said, oh, the world's ending, God's coming back, and we're still here. For the first time in my life, I hear Christians saying such things, and I'm like, well, I could actually see some of the stuff, what we see happening in prophecy, maybe coming to pass here. But even underneath that idea, you could take the idea that they're force feeding us this alien stuff. What if the Christians are right and Jesus Christ does return and he comes and he raptures his church, right? The people who the mainstream propaganda is saying are bigots, they're racist, they're hateful, they're nasty human beings. And Jesus raptures those people and takes them from this earth. What if that actually happens? We already have an established arm of propaganda globally. It's not a United States problem. It's a global problem. And so what happens if Jesus does that? And then after the dust settles from all that, they say, we told you aliens were real. The aliens came and took those bigots away from us so that we could ascend to the next level of humanity and come together as one. Like, there's so many different ways you can go down the road and think about it. But one thing's for sure for me, I feel like the whole alien UFO talk, I think they have an alternative agenda. There's always multiple layers to this stuff when it comes to releasing information. And there's a reason why they do it, the timing that they do it, and the ways they do it, the amounts that they do it. Sure, I think there is some type of truthful disclosure happening right now, but I think there's a reason why they're doing it. And that reason is not totally known yet. You know, could it have something to do with the Great Reset? I'm not sure. But it's something that I'm very concerned about. So I just tell people, you know, just when they're saying, look over here, look behind you, because there's something going on. So
what do you think about the abduction phenomenon in general, especially when we have people saying that, you know, they're seeing their hybrid children on ships and they have all these experiments, fertility experiments. They're taking their eggs, they're taking their sperm, they're making hybrid children. They're being taken on ships through their ceiling, and these little gray aliens that are like biological robots are doing this. It's such a strange phenomenon. You know, some people are being taken in their sleep, and it's just an etheric experience. Some say it's a nuts and bolts physical experience. It's such a broad spectrum when it comes to the UFO ET phenomenon. It's almost impossible to put it all together. What do you think is going on with some of these experiences?
You know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that I go down this road of thinking with this stuff, because I like I said earlier and stuff, for me, I do try to perceive things through my own personal theological convictions. And when it comes to like traditional Christianity, I clash with a lot of people because, you know, when you bring up the idea of aliens and stuff, they say, no, aliens don't exist because, you know, we're the only life in the universe. Says who? I mean, did the Bible say that? Because it doesn't. You know, and who are you to say that you know the will of God, the God who created time, matter, and space, and is outside of those things? You're telling me you know the will of that entity, that he couldn't create other beings in this universe for whatever reason?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Like, you know what I mean? They're like, well, what's the point of Jesus Christ then? Well, Jesus Christ came and saved humankind. Like that the whole point was for all humanity. And, you know, it's this idea that people get caught up in this mindset that if it's intelligent, it's automatically what we are, human. Maybe, but maybe not, you know? And then there's the idea of these things being from the future and time travelers. And so it's like human beings from the future. If that's the case, gosh, everybody just stop procreating, because that's nasty.
Like, oh yeah, like, I don't want that.
I don't want that for my offspring. Like, holy no. crap. I'm sorry. Hang on a second.
Yeah, I'd like to keep my my genitals there and my eyes the same size, you know, just
yeah.
used to it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, but if that's the case and stuff, and these abductions are happening, is it, you know, some kind of experiment to try to curve what happened to them, you know? And it's just like, holy crap. Like, there's so many different ways to think about it. Then there's the one, I guess it's becoming popular and stuff, at least from people that, you know, reach out to me. I think I get a lot of different types of people reaching out to me because of who I am. But there's a lot of people talking about these things right now along the demonic realm that I didn't hear a whole lot a few years ago. I mean, I've heard the idea of it, but recently, over the last year or so, there's been a lot of people floating that idea at me that, you know, they think that these things could be demonic. I know L.A. Marzulli, I think it's L.A. Marzulli, talks about...
Yeah, I had L.A. on last week, and he was talking about that.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, like almost like the suit kind of thing? Is that... Yeah. And so it's like, I don't know. I don't know, but I try to just keep an open mind with all this stuff. Do I think it's happening? I absolutely do think it's happening. That's something that, for me, is like right on the long lines of, you know, people saying they see Bigfoot. Like, I 100% believe it happens. And there's weird things that are happening with these abduction scenarios where it's almost on a spiritual level as well. So there's people who, multiple people will talk about how they feel their body being pulled away from, let's just say, their bed. But at the same time that their body's being pulled at by, let's say, these little gray guys, they also feel something being pulled out of their body, almost like their soul is being pulled out of their body. And so if that's happening, could that be just some kind of intelligent life form out there that has advanced technology to know how to pull out a human soul? Or could it be more on the spiritual realm? But even if it's on a spiritual realm, do demons really have that capability? I have a hard time believing demons have the ability to pull your soul out of your body. And so I don't know what's happening right now. The world's
yeah. A lot of people link some extraterrestrials with angelic beings, that they're one and the same, and it's, you know, some kind of spiritual technology that they're using. I've heard that before too.
Absolutely, I've heard people talk about being fallen angels. I've heard people talk about, you know, the dead spirits of the Nephilim, you know, making body suits and all that stuff. But one thing's for sure, people are experiencing something. And it's been happening for a very long time. And I find it interesting that it's been happening for so long, yet we have such little answers on it. And I do think it's because there's been such a hush-hush nature about it for so long. And our as far back as conceived history goes, you know, I mean, it's not really talked about a whole lot. And I think maybe that's why people are getting so excited right now that, you know, you're having governments coming out and talking about this stuff, because, you know, our grandparents never experienced a time where governments were coming out and talking about these things, but these things did happen before our grandparents even took their first breath. Like, this stuff has been happening forever. And so it's interesting times we're living in. And I want answers. Do I think I can trust all the answers I get? I don't think so. That's why I really kind of stick to my wheelhouse, where I bring people on who've had firsthand experiences. And that's where I kind of gain a lot of my information, is from people who have gone through these things, because I really don't trust a whole lot of the researcher type that is saying, well, let me just tell you what it is. Well, that's really your opinion. Because I got people who've experienced things who say it's something totally different. So
now to close out tonight, with everything going on right now, I mean, you hear the term apocalypse thrown out a lot. You hear the term revelations. I mean, it's a crazy time we're living in right now, that's for sure. We've got, you know, open talk of aliens. We've got pandemics. We've got talk of, you know, deadly death jabs that they're working on to give the whole population, you know, and genetically modify us. There's some crazy shit going on right now, and I'd like to get your thoughts. I mean, do you think that this could possibly be some sort of end-time scenario, some sort of apocalyptic scenario that we're heading into some pretty rough times, you know? I mean, it's already gotten pretty crazy. What do you think?
I referenced earlier about some of this kind of stuff, and I said it more of the third person type, but for the first time in my life, I really do see it being a possibility. I'm not willing to say it's happening. This is the world's ending. But for the first time in my life, I see the scenario playing out where, in my mind, you could see where we would be facing maybe end of the world kind of scenario, whether you believe it's, you know, some kind of, I don't know, some kind of apocalyptic scenario or, you know, biblical prophecy kind of thing. One thing I would say is in Revelation, that book is very detailed about how the world is going to end. And not one time is there anything that resembles America in there to me. I know people will say, I think it was when it was describing Babylon, that's America, maybe. But to me, there's a part where it describes these countries, these cities that turn their face from God in the end times. And I see that happening here. But one thing's for sure, when the world gets to that point where Christ comes back, America's not even in the picture. Like we're not even a thought of being an influence. And so I look at what's happening to my country and I see how we're falling, like socially, economically, spiritually. And I can see how we are getting to the point where America may not be even a thought in those kind of times for that to happen. Man, if it happens, if that's where we're going, I want it to happen now, because I got a 3-year-old and a 7-month-old. I don't want to freaking raise kids in this world. And so I would prefer, if it's happening, I would like to happen sooner than later.
It also seems like there's kind of like a spiritual awakening going on one hand, and on the other hand, there's this like dumbing down and retardation of people, and just this trying to get to turn away from anything spiritual. You know, we got places like China that are killing people for being spiritual, and it seems like they're trying to get that mindset to transfer over here in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're not supposed to talk about China, though, man. You're not supposed to talk about China.
My bad.
Yeah, we're supposed to applaud them for all their cultural progression.
That's right. Yes, they're very progressive.
It's just culture. It's just their culture, and we have to understand their culture because that's called tolerance, and we're all about tolerance these days, apparently.
Yeah, I think it's more like a hive mind mentality that they're trying to get us into. But yeah, sure. And it's crazy times that we're living in. I don't know. Do you think that that we stand a chance to come out of this? Like I said, there's half of the people coming around and waking up to this and saying, oh, I'm not putting up with this bullshit that we're going through. And then there's the other half that are just going along with it and kind of just perpetuating the downfall of our country. I mean, do you see it continuing in that direction, or do you think there's a possibility we may be able to turn things around? No, that's a tough one.
I'm a dystopian kind of guy.
I don't see
a very bright future here. So I got another radio show I started called Rage Against Dystopia, and I've come to call myself more of a futurist than I am conspiracy theorist. I take the world and culture that I live in right now, and I kind of try to see and project where that's going. And I just did a show, it broadcast tonight right before I started recording with you. And I talked about the ESG credit scores, and it's a social credit system that's being implemented in our banking systems in the back rooms kind of thing, where it's not being talked about. But if you're banking at certain banks right now, there's a good chance you have a credit score. You just don't know it yet as far as the ESG score goes. And ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. And what they're doing is they're using it on businesses. So if a business, so say you're a gun manufacturer, your ESG score is going to go low because you're not going with the whole woke culture of the social governance. If you are a trucking company, well, your ESG score is going to be lower because of all the environmental damage you're doing. But it goes even further to the point where, So say I have a business here in Philadelphia and I employ people that live 2 hours away and they commute every day because I pay really, really good. Because the people I hire live 2 hours away and they're driving 2 hours one way every day, my ESG score goes down because of the environmental damage that I'm doing. And these ESG scores then are used to decide who is going to be getting money and loans and who isn't. So it doesn't matter how good your business is, how profitable it is, are you being a good woke puppy? And that ESG score, so for you as an individual, if you buy from a business who has a low ESG score, your ESG score is going to go down as well. Now, this is happening in the banks. And then we have this, at the same time, we have this COVID passport that Joe Biden said that he wants to lead the private sector up to. If you're letting the private sector decide if they're going to implement the COVID passport, and at the same time, the private sector, these businesses that are left to decide themselves are being held beholden to the banks and the ESG scores. Do you think that the private sector is not going to do what the banks want them to do in order to get their loans to keep their businesses running? And so I think we're heading down a road right now where dystopia is coming, baby. And I don't think it's going to look pretty good. I hope I'm wrong. Gosh, I hope I'm wrong. I got two little ones, but I just don't see reversing this at this point. I think there's going to be a good chunk of people like me and you and others that I will freaking die fighting this. Like I'm not going to just be like, oh, well, especially when it comes to, you know, the ideology aspect, when they start attacking me and my family for the way we believe on certain things and calling it child abuse because I'm a Christian or something, like, no, like you literally will have to like put a bullet in my head before you take my kids out of my house. You know,
yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, you're gonna have to kill me before I conform.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. I mean, like even down to things like we have this great propaganda system in this country called the public school system, and for 8 hours a day, you get to brainwash people's children, and their kids go home, and mom and dad had a long day at work. They're tired. They're doing laundry, getting dishes together for just a few hours before everybody goes to bed to do it all over again. You don't have time to deprogram your kids. So for 13 years, including kindergarten, you get to program children before we send them off to the master's program of college. And so people like me, where I have built my life so that I can homeschool my children, I'm going to have a problem here over the next however many years that I'm homeschooling my children, because the state's not going to be happy with that. And they're going to fight that. And they're going to try to come and take my kids to the public brainwashing institution. And I do think that they're going to start demonizing, and they're going to find ways, just like they do with everything else, to demonize certain groups of people and get the whole collective to look at those people as evil. And I'm preparing for that now. I really am. But I understand people are in different situations and not everybody can do it. But for me, like I've been planning this before I even had kids. I've been setting my life up so that I can do this, because I don't want to send my children to a brainwashing institution where I have to deprogram them every day. I just don't want to do it. So, and it's 2021. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the socialization part, that's one of the biggest arguments I hear from people. Well, what about their social life? Listen, it's 2021. If they don't have a social life, that, like, I'm really failing as a parent. Like, it's too easy to socialize these days. So, well, maybe not anymore with COVID. You can't do anything. Can't shake somebody's hand, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you know, they still got online and all this, the other ways, but
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. There's no way that you'd get me to go along with any of this. You'd have to kill me. But we're definitely living in interesting times, to say the least. And I hope that enough people can come around to make a difference. But like you said, I don't know. Dystopia may be just around the corner. Let's see what happens. Just keep waking up people and see what we can do. Tony, I want to thank you so much for coming on again. Awesome conversation as usual. Before you head out, let everyone know where they can find the confessionals and everything else you're working on if they're interested.
Okay, yeah, the confessionals, theconfessionalspodcast.com. We're on all social media platforms. We are a podcast, so you can find us on any podcast playing app. And I also have another show called Hammer Lane Legends, which is just like a comedy show where me and my dad, as coming from the truck driving industry, we interview people who drive for a living, whether you're truck drivers, Uber drivers, taxi drivers, we don't care. And they come on, they share their experiences from, you know, their hellish jobs. And it's a big yuck fest, and we bust each other's balls. And then I just started another show called Rage Against Dystopia, and that's a radio show. It's not a podcast. I'm trying to build a show where I can speak freely off of big tech. And so I've been fortunate where Fringe.fm said they'll bring it on, and they told me I can say whatever I want. And so I've been testing them on that. And so far, Joe, the owner of Fringe FM, he's just 100% on board. He said, dude, say whatever you want.
I love Joe. Yeah. Joe's great.
Yeah. I'm just like, that's cool. So we're doing that over on Fringe FM, where people, if they want to hear it, every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific time, it broadcasts on Fringe. And if you want to participate in a live recording of it, we record live on Instagram. I have a studio set up here where it's a whole production, and people can call into the show and, you know, put their two cents in and all that stuff. But that show is very dystopian. It's very much just me taking whatever's on my mind that week of what's happening in the world and talking about it. And sometimes it's more commentary, sometimes it's more futurist, like I did today. Actually, I just did the ESG score show today. So yeah, those are some of the places people can check me out.
Awesome. So Tony, thank you so much again for coming on, and I'd love to have you back on in the future sometime.
For sure, man.
All right, well, take it easy. Have a good night.
Thanks, man.